Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Maryland, I talk about my current writer's block. I chat with Amanda Levitt from Love Your Body Detroit, and I spotlight a blog from the Big Fat Blog about how to deal with fat loathers. Working on a manuscript to submit to Virgie Tovar's Fat Positive anthology. While I'm excited about the opportunity to submit, and I think this anthology is going to be a great idea, I often find myself stuck with what I guess should just be called writer's block, where either I'm staring at a blank page and I don't know where to begin, or I'm agonizing over every single word that I'm trying to put down into what I've already written. I try to resist the urge to delete everything that I hate, because if I did that, I don't think I would ever get anything finished. I recognize that I'm not the first person to experience writer's block, and I'm actually hoping that my listeners might be willing to share some of their tricks and tips with me. How do you get past writer's block? What are some of the strategies that you use in order to be a prolific writer? Writing is something that is relatively new to me on an everyday basis. As an academic, I'm expected to publish, although hopefully not perish when I don't. But I'm new to writing blogs, and I've never been much of a writer. I'm more of a thinker and then a speaker. I like to chat with people. Putting things down on paper doesn't come as easily for me. So what say you, listeners? What are some strategies? What are some tips? What are some tricks? Help me get through this. Email me at friendofmaryland@aol.com. Joining me today is Amanda Levitt, a blogger at fatwaitress.com and the founder of Love Your Body Detroit. Amanda, thank you so much for coming back on Friend of Maryland.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, the last time that you were on, just in case anyone didn't listen or just doesn't quite remember, we talked about the work that you do with Love Your Body Detroit, and specifically about the awesome Fat Rights Toolkit that you had put together, because I had bought two, and I'm still really excited about that kit. I think it's a really great thing. So what's going on with you now?
Well, right now, we are stepping back a little bit with Love Your Body Detroit. We did a body positive scavenger hunt for Love Your Body Day that went really, really well. But otherwise, you know, everyone that's in Love Your Body Detroit are full-time students as well. We have other jobs. And because we did so much this summer, we decided to take some time off. So while Love Your Body Detroit's still around and I'm still writing and doing everything else on my own, we're just kind of taking a step back from planning anything. That doesn't mean that we won't be in the near future, but as of right now, I'm just not stressing myself out about having the next thing to plan.
Fair enough. The scavenger hunt that you referred to, that's the thing with the pigs, right? Because I saw a picture or two about that, like, up somewhere in the fatosphere. But remind us what that was all about.
For Love Your Body Day this year, which was October 20th, or actually it might have been the 18th or 19th. I don't even remember because it was so long ago. We did body positive scavenging. We had Not Blue at All from notblueatall.com. We had a couple other fat activists, Alex Herberling. She's a really amazing fat activist, and she is a really amazing cartoonist as well. And also we had a couple other local people that they all designed these pigs, these piggy banks that we had. And then we had we placed them in female-owned businesses around the Metro Detroit area. There was about four in Ferndale, Michigan, which is where the city that I actually live in is just north of Detroit. We had four in Detroit and then one placed in Clawson, which is pretty close to us. And basically, the whole idea of the scavenger hunt is everyone had a week to go around and take a photo of themselves with the pig, but not only so that they could, you know, again, do something where you're taking a photo of yourself, which is something that a lot of people find to be hard, but then they also were going out to female-owned businesses and seeing how many locally owned, again, female-owned businesses there are in the area. Mm. And then we had like $150 worth of prizes that we did in a raffle, because every time that someone sent us a photo, they got one entry into a raffle. So I know one person went to every single location, and she got, you know, I mean, she basically won a majority of the prizes that
right.
we had. So,
so what'd you do with the pigs afterwards?
At the moment, they are in a plastic bin in my basement. I haven't quite decided what I want to do with them yet. I would love to auction them off, because one thing that we want to do with Love Your Body Detroit is to become a, you know, officially registered legal nonprofit, uh-huh. But that costs money. So it's something that, you know, I would love to be able to raise money to do that. But right now, because I'm so busy with school and working, it's hard to plan a huge, you know, auction. So that is the plan. But right now they are, well, my favorite pig is sitting on my crafting table. But other than that, the rest are in a bin.
You know, something that I always think is really cool when other kind of groups do this is when they get like well-known people in whatever field it is, and they get them all to like decorate the same thing. So
yeah.
In this case, like if you could get people like Marilyn Juan and Marianne Kirby and Charlotte Cooper and stuff to all like decorate a pig, and then that could be something that you could auction off where you could probably raise quite a bit of money. I know I definitely would be interested in owning some original artwork by the ladies that inspire me in this work.
Well, and I did do a call out on my Facebook, and a majority of people, I mean, again, the big issue is that not only do you have to decorate the pig, but Love Your Body Detroit doesn't have a budget. So
right.
people had to also be willing to not only pay for shipping out, but pay for shipping back.
Right.
So that was like $20 each way, or $20 altogether, not each way. It was $10 each way. So that was a big thing. You know, Not Blue at All totally did it, and she was awesome, and I was totally happy that she did it because her pig is awesome. I had my tattoo artist did one, as well as another tattoo artist in her shop. Grand Rapids Now did one, which they made it look like Wonder Woman, but it's Wonder Pig. It's like adorable.
Nice.
You know, and my upstairs neighbor did one. Ray, who's a Love Ray Detroit member, she did one. You know, and so we had a bunch of different people do it, and they, even though they're probably, you know, again, a majority of the people are not well known, they're still like awesome pigs.
Yeah.
So, and one actually got turned into a hippo. So,
well, we'll definitely just have to kind of watch the space then to see, what might actually happen with the pigs. So Love Your Body Detroit is kind of taking a brief hiatus, you know, as the semester kind of wraps up and people move into the holidays. But what about you? What kind of stuff have you been doing?
I've been trying to just be more active in with myself. I took part in, which used to be City Yoga. They actually just changed their name to Be Nice Yoga. I think it's BeNiceYoga.com. And they wanted to do a photo shoot where they showed body diversity. We were actually planning to do a fundraiser next month, but because we've been so busy, we decided not to do it. And they were someone that we had asked if we could use their space, because they're a donation-based yoga studio in downtown Detroit. And so anyway, so they said that, you know, they didn't have the space for us, but then they had this opportunity for me to go and take photos. And I'm actually their little store icon on their website, which is like kind of cool. But they wanted everyone to dress in like really, really bright clothing. And so I just happened to have a purple leotard and purple tights sitting around, because that was going to be my Halloween costume.
Just hanging around, huh?
And, yeah. You know, you never know when you need to wear a bright purple leotard.
That's
I tend
so
to keep
true.
It around just so you can.
Yes.
And, you know, and so it worked out, because I was literally like the only person that actually showed up in really, really bright clothes. And, I mean, the photos, like, there's some photos on my website that are unedited, and the only photo I've seen that she's finished editing is the little icon of me on the website. So, but it's super fun, and there should be more photos coming out soon. So, that, and then I also started taking an aerial yoga class, which is kind of kicking my butt at the moment. Apparently, you need upper arm strength, and I am slowly but surely gaining it. So,
what is aerial yoga? What?
Aerial yoga is, it's easier to say it's like circus school. Like, we use aerial silks, and we use a trapeze.
Oh, the silks. Okay. That's the stuff that Pink usually does when she performs in concert.
Yeah, that's pretty similar. Obviously, we don't have there isn't, like, I'm not going to be, like, whipped off the ground like she is. You know, that's a little bit more advanced. Uh-huh. I wanted to do it just because it looked, like, fun, and also because I wanted to see a majority of the people on their website. I'm doing it at Fly House Detroit. Majority of the people on their website are, you know, pretty small, and so I wanted to see if I could do it. And the main thing that I've noticed is that, I mean, you have to have a lot of upper arm strength. And so while a lot of these girls are smaller, they're also not, don't have to deal with the fact that my body is 100 pounds bigger than theirs plus. So I'm like, you know, I bought a pull-up bar, which I'm still waiting to come in the mail. I've been doing push-ups and, like, everything I can to try to get it so that I can get on a trapeze because it looks like fun.
No, yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, no, and the good thing about that, which is, I mean, I find it to be a little strange that they have someone that goes around and just takes photos of you so that you can see yourself in poses, and that was, like, the one thing that I really liked about doing the yoga shoot was showing that people can do these poses
right
at different body sizes, and that'll be something that's fun to see, you know, once I'm actually able to. I've only gone to two sessions because it's an eight-week-long class, but once I get done, hopefully I'm going to be awesome and be able to do pull-ups and push-ups and spin around on a trapeze and jump on aerial silks. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and so, not just a fun thing for people to see, but also a really powerful thing. I mean, I think one of the most powerful things that we can do in our work is to just make different sizes of bodies visible in different kinds of ways. So I know that here in New Zealand, and this is probably true in the States as well, I mean, most of the representations of fat bodies that people see are in the media. And so they're either what Charlotte Cooper calls a headless fatty, or they're on shows like The Biggest Loser, which we actually get three of those here because we get Australia, the UK, and the United States.
That's depressing.
Yeah, and other shows, like we've got a show called Embarrassing Fat Bodies and the Big Fat Family Challenge. And so, you know, it's kind of, people are always inundated with these pictures of fat people who are quite unhappy with their lives, unhappy with their body, often usually pretty unhealthy as well. And they believe that's because of their fat. And so that's why they're trying to change their fat, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, just showing as you do and like as Regan Chastain does, this idea of different size bodies engaging in different types of activities, it's really powerful.
Well, and for me too, you know, I played roller derby when I was 20. It was about 6 years ago. And for me, it was really interesting to see how fat accepting they are. Mm. I mean, and I've only been to two classes, but so far it's been really positive. Like, even though, I mean, I was telling everyone, because the people that know that I was taking this class were asking how it was. And I was like, well, there's a lot of flailing going on. Like, but literally, like, every time that I would try to get up on the trapeze, even if I tried, like, people were clapping and being friendly. And it was, you know, that within itself, it's nice to find, or at least try to find, a place that feels accepting, you know, that you're able to go into and feel comfortable in. And that was something that, you know, that was interesting to me. And that's what I want people to see, is that, you know, if they can see that one person can do it, then obviously other people can. But also going into spaces and making sure, or at least teaching spaces, that they can be fat positive if they do this, if they do that. That was the one thing with Be Nice Yoga that I was really happy about, was that the woman that was taking photos was asking, she said, we want to be body positive. Like, give me some ideas of how we can do that. And that was something that most people wouldn't do. They wouldn't go out and ask how they can make people feel more comfortable. Because she said the one thing that she was really worried about was the fact that people do not feel comfortable coming to a yoga class. And she said that that's horrible, that people wouldn't feel comfortable to just go and do something like, you know, again, going to a yoga class, and that they would feel like they can't go and do it. So, yeah, so that was something that was not only important to me, but I can see how it's important to other people too.
Well, and it's just awesome. Plus, it's fun. I mean, like you said, there might be a lot of flailing going on, but it sounds like you're having a good time.
Well, and that's for me, like, you know, I like doing things that are fun. I think that is, when something stops being fun, I don't want to do it. So it's pretty much how I work.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand. And I know that for me, and I don't know if this is true for you, and of course I don't want to suggest that this is true for all fat people, but I know that for me, quite often I might have some like anxiety or fear or trepidation about doing something, especially if it's something physical in my fat body. But I've actually never encountered anything that I wasn't able to do or wasn't, you know, able to get, you know, so it's almost like the thing that usually holds me back. It's not actually my body or my fatness, but it's what's going on in my mind. It's my own fear or my own concern about what might happen or what I might not be able to do. And each time I kind of force myself to get past that and just do whatever it is that I want to do and it works out fine, kind of helps me be a little less afraid the next time.
No, I mean, and that's something, you know, again, too, having anxiety is not abnormal. You know, when I was walking into the aerial yoga class, I was worried, you know, and I mean, for me, it's more annoyance that I can't do something. you know, and it's not, again, like, do I think that it's because I am fat that I can't do it? No, I think that there, again, it's the fact that I need to have more muscle tone, but that happens with anyone. That's something that, you know, again, is the difference between just blaming it on my fat body or acknowledging the fact that I do have to gain muscle to do certain things. And that, for me, is challenging, but it is definitely makes you anxious when, or, you know, feel vulnerable when you aren't able to do something that other people are. And that's something that everyone faces, not just someone that lives in a fat body.
Right.
So that's, you know, again, is for me is just having to work out my own fear, but then also being okay with being vulnerable at the same time.
Right. Wow. You know what? I think that's awesome, first of all. And I actually also think that's a good place for us to kind of wrap up now because we're getting kind of towards the end of what we can record for the segment. But I really appreciate you coming on and kind of sharing specifically like about this experience that you're having with the aerial yoga, because I think that it'll speak to a lot of different people in a lot of really positive ways.
Thanks.
And I hope that
I was happy to come on.
Yeah. Well, I hope you'll come back. You said it's an 8-week class?
Yes.
Okay.
I really want to, obviously, like once I start getting and being able to do things, I'm probably going to start posting about it on my Facebook and on my blog, but I will definitely take the time to tell you about it so I can come back on and let you know how it went.
No, yeah, definitely. We'd love to have you back when it's over and you can kind of, you know, talk us through how the whole thing went and how you feel now that it's over and give us an update, you know, on how that the pull-up bar worked out for you.
Awesome. Yeah, I checked to make sure it holds up to 300 pounds. So I'm waiting to see how I do.
Excellent.
So we'll see. I want to be able to do pull-ups at this point.
Well, we will look forward to your update.
My challenge.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Amanda, for coming back on the show.
Yeah. Thank you.
In the spotlight today is a blog from The Big Fat Blog. The blog is titled How to Argue with the Fat Loather or How to Survive the Holidays, Family, and Work as a Fat Activist. This particular post was written by Big Liberty. Quote, size activists are often put upon by trolls, concerned friends and family, devout healthist employees and the like, who make it their urgent business to disillusion us happy cows as to our cowicity. They make vague future death threats, evo psych abstractions about how fat equals fewer erections and hence is objectively bad for the race, and how they saw a fat person once who wore a crop top that exposed her rolly middle and hence, bam, all fat people are delusional liars. Their world is rife with wandering monstrosities of muffin top and jiggly arms, made even more frightening when those same jelly bellies join the mating pool. And of course, we must think of the children, who are being force-fed donuts and video games at alarming and increasing rates until, you know, Wally. And the trolls don't want to lose their bone density, see? It's all the fault of the fatties and their fatty culture of sin. Sadly, these angsty fellows and fellas are a higher percentage of the population than can be comfortably laughed at. They also come by their misinformation with usually no particular malicious intent, And their invectives are backed by the power of over 300,000 blinding suns or fat-hating messages a year. That level of propaganda is full-out cultural penetration. It's like being an atheist in medieval Europe. You've got three options. Shut the hell up, pretend to agree and privately subvert, or prepare for the guillotine. Option number one, shut the hell up. This one's a daily practice for many an enlightened fatty and comes in several forms. My favorite form is to live life the way you would if you were thin or thinner while directing an extended third finger at a heckling crowd. When you come upon the twisted specter of discrimination, avoid it. Fighting a person bombarded with over 300,000 fat-hating messages a year is often an exercise in futility, leaving each party drained and the fat loather further convinced of his or her paranoid vision of impending fat doom. Your links are never read, and the smallest particle of flab on your person disqualifies you from serious opposition, like having a fat body as a conflict of interest in arguing for fat rights. The pros of this position are peace, time to do things other than to be an activist, keeping your ideals intact and unchallenged, setting an example for the open-minded, keeping your friends and family as they are. The cons of this position are guilt, a sense of disconnect from the community, wondering whether or not you could do more good through direct activism, missing the thrill of vanquishing a troll, allowing fat-hating people in your life unchallenged, unless, of course, you decide to avoid them altogether. The second option is to pretend to agree but privately subvert. This one's sneakier and comes with ethical difficulties. It's not for the faint of heart. This is when you smile and nod over a coworker's tireless talk-up of his or her regimen of Splenda favorite air after you've pinned a health at every size flyer to the company bulletin board. Or when you get a medical degree in which you're forced to agree with the prevailing theory of fat, where ill health is a function of fat-related hormonal overflow and weight loss is a viable prescription, in order to graduate, though you plan to start a kick-ass health at every size practice upon graduation. Or when you massage the language of a grant proposal so it seems like you're towing the obesity epidemic line, though your research may very well show there is no such thing as the obesity epidemic as such. The pros of this position, you're a sheep in the wolf's den, dressed as a wolf. The cons, you're a sheep in the wolf's den, for Christ's sake. Option number three, prepare for the guillotine. And in such a way, activists are born, running from an angry mob nipping at their heels into another angry mob waving firebrands and pitchforks. There's no escaping the 100% penetration of fat-loathing propaganda. It's not just the pitter-patter of hate droplets on a misty October morning. It's the thud of golf ball-sized hate hailstones into you, your prized possession, and everything and everybody you love. Those fat activists who prepare for the guillotine are out in that storm, bearing down under its destruction, that they might see a patch of blue sky in their lifetimes. The pros of this position, the thrill of the maybe martyr, being able to live by one's principles loudly, likely changing a lot of lives with a hit blog, book deal, performance, article, or study. The cons of this position, maybe martyrdom, hate mail, the very real danger of being stalked or receiving death threats, being seen as a wacko for holding non-mainstream views and hence having a difficult time getting conventional jobs or academic position. So now it's your turn. How do you argue with fat loathers? Unquote. Thank you for joining me today on Friend of Marilyn. You can contact the show by emailing friendofmarilyn@aol.com. Tune in next week only on Access Manawatu, 9:99 a.m. Closing the show is Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Israel Kamakawiowe.